Aisha, and I'm a former host of Mocha Single Mothers by Choice, or SMCs. Like you, as an SMC, I decided to become a mother knowing I'd be the sole care provider and parent for my children, at least at the outset. The Mocha stood for Black, so I'm using the word Black, and I'll be discussing being a single mother by choice from a Black woman's lens. You'll connect with all the interesting and fun things about this non-traditional path, like discussing which sperm to use and some hard truths about fertility and the realities of dating as a single mother who doesn't have a co-parent to rely on occasionally, and what it's actually like to parent as an S&C. This is the Black Single Mothers by Choice podcast.
I'm Toja. I am now 46 years old. And I have 7-year-old twins, twin boys. I have survived. I'm a professor by profession, and I happen to live with my mom, but my family consists of my mom and my twin boys.
Hi, I'm Carla. I am 45, newly 45, and I have a 4-year-old, and I also have 3-month-old twins. It's been a journey. Basically, we're here. We have a several generation family. I didn't even think about it until someone mentioned it the other day. So we have the 3 kids. We have my parents. We have my grandmother. So what's that, like 4 generations? And we also have my brother in the house. So that's a lot of adults and 3 kids. So we kind of sort of make it work, but it's a work in progress most of the time because of health challenges and multi-generational things that happen between like infants and my grandma's about to be, I guess we're not supposed to say how exactly how old. She's octogenarian, but interesting dynamic between all the different, I guess you could say, like generations. We make it work for the most part. We are down here in Texas, good and bad. That's where we're from. So
that's awesome. Thank you, ladies, for joining us. So the first question I have is, how did this happen? Was it IVF, IUI? Did you plan for this? Was it just, oh my gosh, I can't believe this happened? How did we get here?
I did IUI. I was lucky enough to get pregnant on my first try and had to use Clomid because I had one fallopian tube that was damaged because I had a myomectomy in the year 6-8 months before actually trying. They needed to pinpoint my sort of window of ovulation because I only was going to give it 3 tries and then I was going to walk away from the whole thing. I wasn't going to be that person that would try and try into my 40s. I had some fallback plans. And so I did decide to take Clomid to make sure that I had my best shot with the IUI. And they warned me that I would possibly have multiples. But I also was told that one of my fallopian tubes was damaged. So I just was like, when I was ready to go the first time, it was the damaged fallopian tube that had produced the follicles and I had nothing on the other side. The second try, I had one sort of very nice follicle set up and the other, my damaged side, I had 2. So I was like, it's very interesting how this all happened, y'all. So then I show up on the day and they said, we have good news and bad news. I'm like, okay, give me the bad news first. We don't have a full vial. I'm like, what? But good news is we have enough for pregnancy, but you get a free vial because the cryobank will, that's their policy. They'll give you a free one if they mess up. She said, you want to go forward? I said, I'm here. It's all thought. Let's just go ahead.
So these babies just like really wanted to come.
They wanted to come. I'm also half Nigerian. So we're highly fertile. And my PCOS, the way it shows up, is not in terms of fertility. I've never had any issues with my cycles or anything. I was very regular. And we have twins in my side of the family. I went back later and checked. And sure enough, he has twins in his side, the donor.
Oh, no.
And I'm 38 years old at this time. So my body's, let's do this. And yeah, first try, first shot, partial vial. And I walked out with some twins. Apparently one of those, both fallopian tubes must have been working.
Look, it only takes 2, right? They say it only takes 1, but hey, let's just top of next one so, for good measure.
Yeah, I am a fertile myrtle, apparently. Yeah. Didn't realize that. Super lucky, super blessed that it didn't require me to do a lot of cycles and go through that, a lot mm-hmm. of what this journey is for many women. So I'm very lucky about that.
Ella, so tell me what this is like, because I know we had like little bits of chats, and it's just because we both have had long journeys, and it's just like, should I or shouldn't I? And so right. tell us a little bit about your journey and then the decision.
Okay. So journey overall, it took me, I was around 37-ish, and I've had several surgeries for myomectomies. I'd had endometriosis, excision surgery, and basically my doctor is like, you need to figure out if you want to go for it and do it. Just, you're not going to have, basically we knew that I didn't have much of, I guess I had the opposite problem. I didn't have hardly any eggs. In order for me to get anything to work out for my first son at all, like we had to use donor egg and donor sperm. So I have frozen embryos from my first donor egg round. So there were two that were left, and I traveled to get through my IVF. So thinking about the fact that I had to travel from Texas to New York State to do all of this, I was like, I have two left. And if I use one, then there's the fact that I could have one left. So thinking through the idea of like, there's one left. So if you use one and it doesn't work, then you have another shot. Or do you use both of them and just say, I'm done with it? Or you run the risk of leaving one frozen. And I was like, I really didn't want to think about having going through it another for a third kid. But I also wrestled with the ideas of I didn't want to donate my possible children to another family, just because my son is already double donor. And I was like, go ahead and just donate his possible sibling to another family. I was like, that's like even harder. Okay, you're already telling me that I am like, I have all these donations that made me, and then you just throw another wrench into the factory. So I was like, no, I really don't think I'm going to do that. And I didn't want to destroy them. So I was like, I'm just going to transfer them. I guess my doctor has always been on the, I guess they're different, especially being over 40. I guess they're like, go for it, having all the other complicating factors that I've had. Maybe it wasn't the best decision, but basically they're just like, go for it, 44 at the time, and just trying to finish out my journey. I had no clue that it would actually work, because I was just like, I'm just going to transfer these last two and just let it be what it be. And it became two babies.
Okay, so let's get into what the reaction was, because I know at the end of my journey, when I had the opportunity, I was done. I was exhausted. I was tired. I was broke. And I was like, okay, I'm going to just roll the dice and transfer two. Once I did it and I was sweating bricks, I was like, oh my gosh, if this comes back with two kids, how am I going to do it? What was your reaction in the moment when they were like, there's two? Carla.
Oh, it's, you did it on purpose. So it's, you can't say, oh, I didn't really want to have two because you purposely put two babies in
there. Right.
So, IVF, I was still surprised knew. Because honestly, being the age that I am and the hard journey that I've had to get to this point, I never thought that two would stick. Of course, there's a big possibility that it could. It's just my body has rejected so many things. Mm-hmm. Just the fact that these two little strong babies are in there growing, I was just like, wow. So then it's trying to just come to grips with it and get your mind around it, because it's not.
So I mean, Carla,
you can't say you didn't know about it because you did it on purpose.
So you're laying on the ultrasound table and they're like, here's the gestational sac, and
here's two.
What was,
I like, mean, in that it was kind of obvious. I could see them both, so I wasn't like, but I didn't know if both of them had, you could see that there were two sacs, but I couldn't tell if there were two like embryos in there, because you know how sometimes you can have like empty, so I was just like, okay. But the fact is, this is like, it was so early, because I think at my clinic, like we go at like 5 weeks-ish, so it's super early, so you don't know if the other one's gonna make it, you know, it may not, just going week to week. I still was like on pins and needles, because I was just like, it's so early. It's common that you could lose a twin. I just really went into was thinking through all the parts.
It was like somebody had dropped ice water on me in that moment. I was truly like stunned, because I don't know what it was, but there was a part of me that just expected to have a harder time. I just thought, since I'm doing this consciously, whatever, I just felt like this is going to be harder. And so when she said, you're already sitting down, because obviously, are you ready? I was like, yeah, what's going on? She's like, you've got two sacs here. This was at week 9. What was interesting was there was some foreshadowing. So I went in at my 2 week after taking the pregnancy test, and the nurses were like, "Are you okay?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm fine." She's, "Are you sure? No sickness? No, you know,
where you've been at like 5,000.
Yeah.
And well, I also wonder, is that common? Do you feel sicker because there's two?
I had no morning sickness throughout the entire thing. It's weird.
Carla, right? Told you. With two than with one?
Yeah, I did. But I didn't have any with my singleton. So it was figured I would have it with twins.
Yeah.
So hang on, Toja. Okay, so when we go through the 2 week wait, people will come back with their beta numbers. Were your beta numbers like triple, double, or were they like regular, like 250, 260?
I can't remember, but all my numbers were like through the roof. Like they were like, you okay. should be sick at this point. Like I'm not. I was like mother goddess all the way through about week 16. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. 16 is when things start to get difficult for me. But I was like, my hair was gorgeous. My skin was glowing. I just looked like Mother Earth floating through the world. But in that moment, that's like my first clue. And then the second clue is I was on a job interview and I was getting ready, going through the airport. And I love bacon. And that morning I wasn't having it, but this was well before that 9 week scan. Mm-hmm. So that's when they did the ultrasound and they were like, you've got two sacs. You could see them little babies floating around. I was like, oh my. And the first person I called was my mother and she just lost her mind. She was like cackling. It was like the best thing on the planet.
Oh my God.
Like she was all about it. She was so delighted. And I'm like, oh my God, mom. Like I need to think. And I kept saying, I need to think. I need to think. Because I had planned everything. I had money put away for childcare. I'd saved all of that. I had my little 3-bedroom, beautiful.
Right. Because you were one and done.
I was about to be one and done and keep it moving. I was a traveler. If I wasn't going to have babies, I was going to be Auntie Mame, take my nieces and nephews around the world with me. It was going to be like, woo, we're cute, out and moving. So everything just got arrested for 3 weeks. I was absolutely stunned in shock for 3 weeks. I couldn't think. I kept saying, I need to think through all of this. And then it was interesting because then after that, I was like, okay, I got to reconfigure like everything, including
my life,
like the name. Like I had a name for my child and then had that name for years. And now I got to think of a second name. And in our culture, naming is very serious. And so that was a whole project. But anyway, it was real intense and I was not happy. I wasn't happy. I'll be very honest.
And thank you, Toja. We're going to come back to that. Mm-hmm. Carla, quickly, who was the first person you told and how did you tell them?
Wow, it was all like pretty much a blur. I probably called my mom most likely because she had been going through some of her own health challenges. And I told her in the middle of it, like what I was trying to do. And like, she's always been very supportive of me. But yeah, I guess for the longest people didn't believe me because even my first pregnancy, like no one could really tell that I was pregnant, like even up to the end, like even with twins, like she would still ask me, are you sure it's two? And I'm just like, because at this pregnancy, no one came with me to any of the scans. So no one really got to see it in person, even though I had the pictures. And I was just like, no, like there's really two. Because no one, people see me and they're just like, I think it was May and I have them in June. And like people saw me and they're just like, how did you have twins? And I'm just like, I had twins.
Are you tall, Carla?
I'm 5'7", but I think it's just the way that I carry it. I'm all right. I'm not a tiny girl, but it's just the way that my body carries the babies, it just doesn't look obviously. Unless I wear something like with a high waist, which I don't own because I just don't like the way it looks. Literally, it doesn't look like I'm pregnant.
Girl, I am 5'3", and one of my babies was measuring to be, he was trying to be a 10-pound baby if he was in there by himself. The one was trying to be 8 pounds because we have big babies in my family. And I'm 5'3", with a short torso. I got long legs, but really short torso. And so people were blessing me on the street, seriously. Aww. And
so that's what I was gonna ask. Like, how was the pregnancy? For me, I hated being pregnant and I was like in pain and I only had one in there. So I just can't even imagine at a point it has to be painful.
It's a haul. Like I said, because I'm so short, I looked full term at week 18. And at week 12, I was a runner before all of this. I stopped running at week 8, started walking, couldn't walk after week 12. Had started having round ligament pain, which is like this low grade gnawing kind of pain that's just constant. Stopped being able to sleep in a bed at about week 16. Had to get a recliner to sleep. The one thing that I developed was carpal tunnel, the pregnancy carpal tunnel that you get. I didn't have any swelling in my feet though. No, I didn't feel stretch marks, didn't see them because I was nursing my skin constantly because I was so terrified of what these babies were going to do to my body. But yeah, I mean, by the end though, the stretch marks were absolutely terrible. I had open wounds after the babies came out and had to use scar ointment to heal them. And I now have SI joint damage on both sides. One side is stuck, the other one is loose. And so I look like an old lady most mornings when I wake up, and it's going to be for the rest of my life. And I can no longer run, even though I didn't give birth vaginally because of my myomectomies. I had a C-section. I still have issues with my pelvic floor because the babies were so big. Yeah, by the end, I was very uncomfortable. I had to walk with a cane. When I went to stores, I had to get on those little like scooters.
I think you
blessed me like when I would zoom by.
I think one time you described it as broken. My body was broken.
Yeah, they did break my body. I am in chronic pain as a result every day.
How about you, Carla? How did it go?
It wasn't too bad besides like the nausea until I would say like halfway through the second trimester. But then I think one of them decided to take up residence near under my lungs, which made me feel, she was transverse a lot of the time. So it always felt like something was right up underneath where I was breathing. So it became hard for me to get a full breath and just feeling out of breath all the time. Turned out she never really moved out of that spot. And my other twin got into my opposite side hip, and it was like they got where they wanted to be and got stuck, so they weren't really moving a lot. So I didn't really have pain in my hip, but just having her like all the way up in my breast bone, almost like up in there, it was really uncomfortable and just hard to breathe. Towards the end of the time that I was pregnant, like I had to do the same thing, even though I wasn't like physically huge, like it was just being out of breath all the time. If I needed to go in the store, I would take the little cart, and those things were lifesavers. Like I wouldn't even go in the store unless I knew that they had the little carts that you could get on, because it's you literally would feel like lightheaded, like you couldn't really do anything. But as single moms, it's, you pretty much have to do things for yourself. So luckily, like a lot of the places have like pregnant, you could sit, park in like the pregnant woman parking spot, make it to the door so you can sit down on the cart and be able to get your groceries or whatever. But yeah, it was honestly, I'm glad I didn't really have to go up too many stairs or anything, because I don't know, it was taxing a lot, just because I feel like it was just because it was so even though my babies weren't big, it was like the way that they're positioned, I think it just caused me to be out of breath and just uncomfortable.
You were carrying twins, so yep, uncomfortable.
How many weeks did you end up, Carla?
32 weeks.
35. For twin births, 37 is considered full term.
If there was one thing that you could say was the most challenging about your twin pregnancy, ending at the pregnancy point, just focusing on the pregnancy, what was the most challenging part of the twin pregnancy?
Sleep. I already was losing my sleep. Like, again, it was about week 16 when I couldn't sleep in my bed anymore, and I was like so miserable that I was like out shopping for a chair. So yeah, I was miserable almost every single day after that point.
I would have to say towards the end it was like complete fatigue, and I'm used to having fatigue because I have some autoimmune disorders and stuff, but it was just the least little thing, the least little exertion, it was just like you were just wiped out from just doing your normal everyday activities. It was just a lot on your body and just like trying to make it through the day.
All right. So now let's go to like babies are out. What has been like the most surprising or like the funniest thing that you have experienced since being a twin mom?
I'll say for me, honestly, I think this is not really about being a twin mom, but I think all of us can probably relate. But just the wonder of watching your, like, these humans that you've created interact with each other. I didn't really get to experience this properly until they were about 3 or 4. And then it was absolute magic, the connection that they have with each other and the friendship that they have and how they communicate is just such an intimate thing. I thought having two at once would rob me of some bonding, that I wouldn't have that kind of deep bonding with them, but we're actually bonded as a trio. We are a sort of unit, a threesome unit, and it's a beautiful thing.
We haven't had much time because they're not quite 4 months old, but I would say what surprised me the most is, even though we had 32 weeks gestation, that they really didn't have a lot of complications that made us have to stay in NICU for more than a month. And the only reason why they were still in the NICU is because they needed to grow stronger and bigger. Amazingly, they didn't have a lot of those obvious things, like they were on oxygen or they came off of that stuff. Like I saw them on my third day after giving birth. That's a whole part of the story. We got separated between the hospital where I gave birth and where they ended up in NICU because of capacity issues. But when I saw them on the third day, like they were already on room air, like they didn't really need a lot of support. So that was a pleasant surprise, because like at 32 weeks, I mean, there could be a whole lot of different complications that could have happened to them, and they were mostly fine.
So yeah, so that was going to be one of the questions I wanted to backtrack to. So we talked about the pregnancy, but what was delivery like, right? Because we get to this point where people are just like, yeah, they think of twin pregnancy, they skip over the critical steps where things can get hairy in terms of jobs, in terms of finances, in terms of health risks for both mom and baby. And then they jump from the pregnancy all the way to, oh, I'm taking pictures of two in matching outfits. But what was the labor and delivery like?
For me, it was surprising because I really was pretty fine up until I wasn't. And then when I wasn't, it was real fast because the babies were in distress. And I was lucky enough throughout the pregnancy, I was being tracked and going in every 2 weeks. I had gone over the sort of anxiety over developing gestational diabetes, which is a major thing with twin moms, gaining 50 to 60 pounds, which is regularly what people gain. And so I had passed through all of those hurdles, and the fact that my twins were still alive, which is a whole thing into itself. People don't realize that many twin births don't come to term. Like many of them actually don't make it. And then, yeah, the actual day of delivery was, again, this moment of shock that I'm in it. And I remember my mom driving me to the hospital. And this was like, I had Braxton Hicks contractions 2 weeks before, and they'd calmed down, and it felt like that again. And they said every time I had it, because I had high risk pregnancy, I had to come in. But this time it felt different. I was like, I'm not ready. I'm like, my mom's like, there's no way, like, you have to go through this. And just realizing my doctor that had been following me the whole time, I had a Nigerian fetal maternal specialist who was amazing. And this Black woman who was my OBGYN, who I loved. And then all of a sudden, the day of, no one was available. And I had to have this Lebanese doctor who was beautiful. He was wonderful and very sweet. So I was lucky that way, but I was freaking out. What? No one is here. I remember being in the, they were prepping me for surgery, and the anesthetician was like, bend forward, we need to inject you with the anesthesia. And I couldn't because my belly was so big. Mm-hmm. And he got so frustrated that my doctor told him to leave, and they had to get somebody else to do it. And then my doctor very gently held me and pulled me physically forward to help him get it done. And the rest of it is history. And it went pretty quickly, the C-section. I wasn't traumatized by it at all, because I knew that's what was going to happen. But the aftermath was what was more, for me, traumatizing, because I had these really massive stretching in my skin, and they had turned into basically these gashes in my skin. And I had to recover from that in addition to the C-section and try to produce milk while my babies were in the NICU. So it was just a lot. And I could barely walk because I have severe diastasis. Uh-huh. So my muscle walls are separated vertically, as well as they pulled all the way up. So there was literally nothing holding my muscles down to my pelvis, basically. Ooh. Everything had bumped up. So if you looked at me, I had this huge mass of belly and then nothing. And so that's all what happened in the aftermath. And my recovery from all of that, it took several weeks. I could barely walk. I couldn't go upstairs for a while.
Carla, what was your experience like?
How I even got there was because I decided to go in one day. I mentioned how I've been out of breath and just like super, super tired. And I was just like, you know what? Even though I was being followed pretty closely by my doctors at that point, I was weekly. I was either going to see my OB or I was going to see the maternal fetal specialist because I had a liver complication called cholestasis of pregnancy with the second. It wasn't more severe. It just was something that they were following. So I was going, but I still just wasn't feeling good. And I was just like, let's go to triage. Normally you go to triage and they hook you up to the monitor. And they're like, oh, you're good. And then they send you home and you're just like, okay, I don't feel any better, but at least I went and got on the monitor. But this time I went in and they're like, nope, we're keeping you because something was going on with my kidneys. Up until this point, like they still haven't quite figured out what happened to my kidneys. But what it started to foreshadow is they think it was like a non-standard presentation of preeclampsia because as they were keeping me in the hospital for like my kidney labs, over time, over like a week or so before they decided to go ahead and give me the steroid shots for the baby's lungs, which was about 2 days before they decided to do the C-section. That whole week, it was like I was creeping into preeclampsia, which I had postpartum with my singleton. This time it was before. And basically, as my kidneys were starting to do what they're supposed to do, then I started to get like the high blood pressure, which I don't have in normal life, even though I have other indications for it. I don't have high blood pressure. And I've never had protein in my urine. But basically, they just said over the time that I was in the hospital that like things weren't really resolving. Her decision was to go ahead and have the babies born because basically it was things were like trending not so great with the preeclampsia. So we just ended up, let's give them the steroids and let's pull them out. So I guess they opted away from any kind of bed rest type of thing because it wasn't getting better.
I think the biggest part of my initial difficulty with accepting the reality that I was having twins, because I had put a lot of thought into organizing my financial life to do this process and have one. So I was fully disorganized. Everything got blown up in terms of my budget and all of that. So I'll say this, the way that I think I've survived is I've stopped telling myself that I have double the cost of everything because other people have one, like singleton. That was one of my sort of negative frame of minds that I think didn't help me. And I suffer from some postpartum depression. And I think that was the thing that was cycling my mind all the time. Yeah, I took a year's leave of absence because I just knew that this was going to be pretty cataclysmic and took all the sick pay, took all the maternity leave, all of it. And I still came up short and just did some very creative side gigs, whatever I could take, and stretched it as far as I could for that first, I would say, 8 months. In that time, I decided to cloth diaper. And cloth diapering, I would not recommend for absolute newborns. I would let the initial poops get through because they will ruin those diapers. But yeah, I cloth diapered. The only reason I could have, and the only way I could have done that is because I was not working. I was washing clothes constantly because of that. I thankfully breastfed. So that was very lucky for me that I did not have the cost with formula, even though I got a lot of pressure from my doctors in the NICU to bottle feed. I don't to this day understand why when I was capable. The biggest challenge has been childcare. And unfortunately, my children were born in September. So the cutoff date for their birthday misses by an entire year. I'm literally 7 days off the cutoff. So that was painful when I realized that. So I had an extra year of childcare that a lot of people don't. My children were basically six when they started kindergarten. The way that I managed it was by using an au pair. That was actually cheaper than putting two babies in daycare or any kind of childcare facility. I was lucky enough to have a sister who had au pairs before. So she really coached me through the process, but financially it was cheaper. And it was the only way that I could manage. My mom was there, but she has a lot of health challenges. And so she couldn't really be that kind of physical support in the day-to-day routines that I had. But yeah, educational cost, childcare, I think, is the biggest thing to plan for at this point and think about what your strategies are. And there's no way to save for it. You just need to, have a kind of strategy in terms of the thing, and then you figure out what you need to do to make it work.
What's your advice for the different stages, trying to conceive that you're thinking, it's so, I want twins, and you're jumping all the way to dressing them alike. What would be some of your advice, some of the things to consider?
Both of you are like, don't do it, but go, Carla. The first thing I like to say to people who say that is, okay, first of all, you don't know that you're actually going to make it all the way through with two babies, because there's a lot of times that, like, one of my twins was growth restricted. So even though they both made it through successfully, we had not gotten them out when we don't know what would have happened to him, because they really couldn't even visualize how small he was because of where he was tucked in. You have no idea how your story is going to end. It looks cute or whatever if you see the pictures after the fact, but there's so many things that could go wrong, just like it could in a singleton pregnancy, but it's double or even more than that. The prevalence of complications. Unfortunately, sometimes you will lose a twin, not just in utero. Sometimes upon birth, one twin may not even make it. It may be like this nice idealistic type of thing, but the reality is a lot different.
You can't plan for twins, really. You think you have some kind of control over your fate, but you really, even if you go the IVF route and you implant two embryos, you don't know that both of them are going to make it. The aftermath, first 6 months, is absolute pure. You're running on fumes because you have two babies with needs, and it is intense and it's not cute. None of it is. I don't have actual memories. I have few memories, and the memories I have are very intense. I have pictures to remind me of that time, but I did not sleep. I didn't sleep. If you think of torture and sleep deprivation, I felt like I was being tortured every single day. I got very little sleep. I still don't sleep because I actually was unlucky to have two babies who were not good sleepers. You could be lucky and have two babies that slept well.
But I mean, that's like winning the lottery twice, though. I don't know. Yeah. I feel like there's a lot of people with singletons where that happens, but I feel like it's probably a lot less likely that would happen actually. Yeah.
When one slept well, the other one would disturb the other. And so there was this kind of bopsy twin, like you just were playing whack-a-mole, honestly, with their needs.
Ladies, it has been a pleasure. I really appreciate y'all joining us today. And especially Carla, you're like in the thick of it. Like you're in that less than 6 months.
You won't remember this conversation.
No, I probably won't, but it'll be on the internet for me to remember.
Yep. Go back and listen and be like, dang, I made it.
Yes. Fuerte. You'll get through it. And then it'll start getting easier. It does get easier little by little. And I remember a twin mom telling me, because I was so beat down, it starts to start feeling better when they turn about 4. And then it really starts to feel good.
That's like a 4-year jail sentence.
Yeah. And to be honest, that's exactly how it went. They were about 4 when I started to feel human again. And then 5, 6, 7, I'm so enjoying them now. So yeah, there are all kinds of challenges and life is very intense at times. But now I'm like, wow, we made it through and just look how far we've come. It's still a joy and they're still both blessings.
Yeah. Well, Pod, thank you so much for taking the time to listen. If you like what you've heard, please share this podcast with your girlfriends, and I'd love to hear your thoughts about the topics covered in this episode. So email me at mochasnc@gmail.com. If you found value in the topics covered, consider making a donation using the link in the show notes below. Till next time, Pod. Bye now.